Calling 911 means help is going to come, right? Well, in rural parts of our state, the answer probably isn't what you'd expect. Emergency medical services, EMS for short, isn't considered an essential service in our state, which means responders aren't always required to show up. But as our Troy Oppie reports, they do anyway, and they are working in the State House this session on the health of their own organizations.
On a Monday last month, on the second floor State House rotunda, about two dozen uniformed EMS personnel and leadership gathered among displays, handouts, and $45,000 stretchers, all meant to grab the attention of lawmakers on EMS Day. Ada County's chief paramedic, Sean Rain, was there.
Issues from funding to recruitment and retention of personnel, education requirements, volunteerism is down, a lot of different issues.
In the state's most populous county, EMS last year responded to more than 36,000 calls, about a 14% increase from 2020. Talking after that event by phone, Rain said the growth in the Treasure Valley, new homes and businesses where miles of farmland existed before, has created a conundrum.
The way that we're funded is I can either pay people more or I can add more resource, but I can't do both at the same time.
More on that funding in a minute. Hiring enough staff was already an issue. The stress of the pandemic caused many to leave their paramedic careers. Other staff leave because local fire departments or services like Lifelight can pay considerably more. Paramedic Don Ray has been with Ada County for nearly two decades, lately enduring more overtime demands and schedule changes.
Technically, I worked Friday, Sunday, and then had Monday through Thursday off, but more often than not, I was coming in and working another 24-hour shift or even more than one 24-hour shift during my days off.
That's a hard fit for people with families, she says. Adding to the staffing challenges are on-the-job injuries and illnesses, which Rain says have been on the rise. That includes mental health, often affected by the situations paramedics encounter in the field. In rural areas, the problems are similar: funding, staffing, scheduling, but different because the vast majority of rural emergency responders are volunteers.
So we cover over 1,700 square miles.
Jill Egan is EMS director in Clark County, bordering Montana, north of Idaho Falls. If you've driven up I-15 over Moneta Pass or camped in that area, you're in her territory, where many of the calls for help come from non-residents.
We were 47 or 48 calls in 2017, and this last year, we're double about what we were over the last 5 years.
And her volunteer staff of about two dozen reliable responders has shrunk by about half to 14.
If someone has a heart attack in the middle of the woods, EMS is not required to go.
Republican Mark Harris is Senate Majority Caucus Chair.
If it's out of the range of the EMS personnel in that particular county where it's not an essential service, they're not required to go and assist.
But they do.
But they do. And that's the beauty of the system that we have.
A system in danger of breaking down. That's why Harris is leading a push to get EMS declared essential in Idaho. He introduced a concurrent resolution this week, which would do just that, and direct a task force of EMS leadership to come up with legislative solutions to some of the problems the service is facing.
It's very hard to pay for a $200,000, $250,000 ambulance with bake sale funds. So that's what we're trying to do, is figure out a way to declare it or get it declared, the EMS service, an essential service. Therefore, the state can come in and supplement.
But it's a purposefully slow process. State Health and Welfare EMS Director Wayne Denny told me they don't want to spook lawmakers by asking for too much too fast or deliver proposals lacking polish. Harris says respecting the commitment of rural EMS volunteers who might balk at more oversight or paid responsibilities is also important. Clark County's Egan echoed those concerns, but also says she's near a tipping point.
I have EMRs who are a year into it and saying they're tired because they have run so much. And so it's just, I really don't know what the answer is. And that's really why we are here with the task force.
Back in Ada County, Chief Paramedic Sean Rain points out tax revenue is only 28% of the Ada County paramedics budget. Fees charged for service calls have to cover the rest. Lawmakers capped the amount EMS can increase its budget in the mid-90s, limiting annual budget growth up to 3% each year. The population growth here has outpaced that limit.
The true cost of EMS is not for that response when they come to your house. It's the fact that the ambulance that came there has been on duty 24/7, 365 for the last, 10 years.
The Senate Health and Welfare Committee voted to print that bill, and it should receive a hearing next week. Republican Representative Megan Blanksma is expected to sponsor the House version. If the resolution passes, legislation wouldn't likely be presented until at least next year. Troy Oppie, Boise State Public Radio News.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Race might be a hot topic right now, but for so many of us, talking about race is nothing new. On the Code Switch podcast from NPR, we go beyond the headlines and we go deep. Listen now.